everyone. Welcome to the Royal Court News Review. I'm Jen Bachman. I am here with some of my favorite Royal Court ladies, Cassandra Callahan and Cindy Ellicott. Hi, ladies.
Hi, Jen.
Hi, Jen. Hi, Casserole.
Hey, Mama.
Well, I'm so glad it's spring and we're back together again to chat a little bit about Disney news. But before we get started, I wanted to ask you both, what do the following things have in common? And I'm going to say Jeopardy, The Simpsons, The Young and the Restless, and our very own WDW Review podcast. Any guesses?
I have no idea.
They're all full of drama? No, I'm kidding.
I mean, sometimes. They have all done 450 or more shows. So this is officially the 450th show for the WDW Review. So congrats to Chris Malik and Stacey Nyman and all of our co-hosts and guests that filter in and out of the show for making this possible. But huge milestone, so wanted to call it out.
That is awesome. Bravo.
Yep.
It's exciting. All right. As we get started, I know we usually talk about what's good in our life or trips we've got going on, but maybe let's talk about today a little bit with what's going on in our work world and our Disney-related roles. So, Cassandra, do you want to start with that?
Yeah, sure. We are super busy over at DVC-Rental. We have been getting in a lot of reservation requests and selling a lot of confirmed kind of like pre-booked reservations for the summertime, for the fall, for the holidays even. And we're now even the 11-month window, which is the soonest a DVC reservation can be booked, is now heading into early 2025. So we're starting to see some of those days disappear even in early 2025. So, I want to say the business is good, and we are busy and loving it, and we're always happy to, you know, if you're looking to save some money and wanting to stay at a deluxe resort but not having to pay rack rate Disney prices, you can find us over at DVC-Rental, and I would be happy to assist you in, you know, finding your dates, lining you up with a resort that fits your family, and then saving potentially up to 40% off of what you would pay over Disney. So, yeah, doing some big things over here.
Awesome. Yeah.
And Jen, there's quite a few promotions that we'll talk about probably later today. I talk to you often, and I know that you're always very busy.
Yes. The travel advisor world is very busy right now. The busy season historically is the first 3 to 4 months of the year. So just starting to come off of that, but I'm seeing similar things with 2025 being really popular. And then lots of demand still for Disney, that's strong, but cruising in huge demand as well. And then booking some Mexico trips and some Europe trips. So that's been really fun too, just to plan different destinations for families, which is what I specialize in. So it's been, I've been having fun doing that.
Yeah, you get a little bit of FOMO, but you kind of get to explore other opportunities outside of Disney that you may be interested in. So that's kind of
goes
in a little bit. Yeah.
My husband laughs because he's like, the more you work as a travel advisor, the more expensive it really gets for us because you just keep adding to your list of trips. So it's a problem.
He's pretty accurate.
Yeah. And how about you, Cindy? What do you got going on?
I just enjoy going to Disney and staying in DVC accommodations. So I rent from DVC Rentals.
She does. Yes, she does.
Awesome. Yes. Well, yeah. I know you're.
And I keep getting tempted by all the bargains they've been posting lately. Oh my gosh.
They're really coming out with the promos. I mean, even on the rental side of things, it's hard to compete sometimes with the promotions that Disney is offering.
Yeah.
So definitely
but your option. Yeah. The rental ones you've been posting, you and Scott have been posting, have been amazing. Like all kinds of, you know, the really nice Grand Floridian and Polynesian and Beach Club. You really guys have some excellent deals.
Some of my favorites, yeah.
We just did the Polynesian ourselves, and it was, for as long as we've been going there, it was the first time we watched fireworks from the beach. So that was a nice moment.
Yeah.
special resort.
So where does it sit on your list, Jen?
It's definitely top five.
Yeah. Okay.
But
that's fair.
Yeah.
The only one we stayed in is Animal Kingdom, but Polynesian has always been kind of Brittany's number one.
Yeah, Polynesians. So Polynesians are our favorite. Grand Floridian's pretty close.
And we have already watched fireworks on the beach there.
There you go.
Prior to when they stopped allowing people to do that. I believe it was our 2019 trip. We went and ate at Ohana, and then we went and sat on the beach and drank our lapu-lapus and watched the fireworks. It was really nice.
You can actually still do that outside of July 3rd, 4th, probably New Year's. Yeah. You know, keep that in mind when y'all are going back down.
Yeah. There were people saving chairs at 4 in the afternoon, which is a little frustrating, but yeah. We grabbed towels from the pool and sat on the sand, and that works just as well.
Awesome. You guys ready to start?
I think so. We've got a lot of news to talk about today. So, Cassandra, do you want to kick us off?
I do. So, one of the bigger news stories that I have are the new changes to the dining reservation and how you find those dining reservations. So finding coveted dining reservations at Walt Disney World and Disneyland is now a lot easier thanks to the new updates that were recently implemented on the parks websites and in the My Disney Experience and Disneyland apps. So Disney shared that these changes were rolled out after listening to a lot of guest feedback. You know, if you're familiar with, you know, booking your advanced dining reservations, and you would have to go day by day to search for a specific you know, the restaurant that you're looking for. So you can now view dining availability for multiple days at a time. With one search, you can see available dining reservations for any given restaurant up to 10 days at a time. This will give you more flexibility when it comes to planning meals during your trip. So let's say, for example, Ohana dinner, you're looking on Tuesday, nothing. You're looking on Wednesday, nothing. You know, and so you're just having to toggle day by day. But now you can just put in like the search field of how many days you're going to be there, up to 10. And it's going to show you any available options for Ohana dinner, which is huge. So Disney also implemented being able to view all available reservations by hour, you know, on each individual day. So you can see all your options for the day instead of just a small window of time. An update has also been made to mobile ordering with a new sorting feature, which shows nearby locations and even those with the earliest available pickup times. So I think this is huge. I mean, just to go in there and say, okay, I'm going to be staying at Beach Club, or I'm going to be staying at Boardwalk, and I really want to do Beaches and Cream. That's another reservation that's near impossible to get. But of course, people drop it all the time, especially last minute. So now you can look through a matter of days and say, you know what? I'm going to be at Epcot that day. You know, I can just run over really quick. And so it's so much easier to adjust your plans and that, and then try out the restaurants that you've been hoping to try, but don't want to spend so much time trying to grab. So,
yeah. And I will say, as a travel advisor, this was like a game changer for me.
Oh, I bet.
And I'm up at like 4:45 in the morning to try to get reservations, and I can search, especially now that for most tickets, you don't have to make park reservations.
Yeah. So it just, so flexibility and moving things around.
Oh,
yeah.
So great. So great.
Yeah. Record
time, had all my clients' reservations done in like 6 minutes the other day, which is
good for you.
It was awesome. So I'm a huge fan of this change.
Yes.
Thank goodness for my daughter. She does all our reservations and she does all the planning and she does all the searching.
She enjoys it though, kind of like I do. Like, Jen currently has my cruise, but she knows, you know, Jen is there to help out in any manner that I need. But you know what? I want control.
And it's a lot of moral support, really, more than anything, right, Cassandra?
You know, anytime I want to change the rooms, you know, she's like, oh my gosh, you know. But.
No.
Who did you find out was next to you? Was us? Tell me it wasn't us that made you want to change your room.
Oh, no. And I'm like, oh my gosh. No, there's another cruise on the horizon.
Oh, there you go. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Awesome.
But I have to find that perfect room. Pros and cons to everything. So,
I am going to continue on with dining news. We have been talking about the free dining offers that have come out. So we're already past the original ones that came out for Disney Plus members. But starting April 9th, Disney Visa card members can get a free dining plan for certain arrival dates in July, September, and December. So obviously they've got some rooms that they want to fill and they're looking at their calendars and thinking it might be a little slow there. And I don't know why July would be slow with all the heat, but.
I can imagine, but yeah, summer's typically the slower season now. And, you know, just watch these promos and it's going to reflect that.
Yeah. So to take advantage, you have to reserve a package at full price and for a minimum of 4 days and four nights, including park hopper tickets. So you have to have room and tickets, and the tickets have to be park hopper tickets, and not, you couldn't have combined it with like the 30% off or anything like that. Value resorts and moderate resorts are getting the quick service dining plan for free, and deluxe resorts get the deluxe villa resorts deluxe resorts and deluxe villa resorts get the regular dining plan for free. Again, if you're a Visa Disney card holder. The other thing that was just announced on April 4th is that UK and Ireland guests are going to return to free dining in 2025. So they didn't announce anything for this year, what people were hoping for the summer, but they did announce that it is coming back. So if they book by July of 2024, July 2nd, they can get this package. And since most UK visitors, you know, if they're coming from there, they stay for longer trips. It's for a 7 to 14 day package booking. It includes a 14-day magic ticket for the price of 7 days. They also get complimentary memory maker for the entire time of their trip. And if they book their package with flights, they're going to receive a £300 gift card. And if they book just hotel and tickets, they'll receive a £200 gift card. So this used to include free dining, discounted tickets. I was telling you, ladies, for Canada as well, and they haven't announced that yet. So here in Canada, we're a little riled, but hopefully.
Yeah, you and Britt would probably have an additional trip on the books. So hopefully soon.
Yeah, we would for sure.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking of all the things I would eat with 14 days of free dining.
I mean, and that's really, I think, going to affect, you know, on the DVC rental side, we do get quite a few UK renters, but now that they're offering these discounts again, you know,
might change
that a little bit, or maybe they'll, you know, do, you know, half DVC rental, half, you know, booking directly through Jim, you know,
or. Yeah, and I can see the incentive for moving up to the deluxe when you get the full dining package instead of the quick service one. If you want that meal at a hotel, when you look at the cost of a meal, if there's two or three, four of you in the room, a good deal.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Four people at a restaurant is going to cost you way more than a couple $100 extra for the room for the night. So,
Yeah, that's a great deal. I am not going to talk about dining right now, but I'm going to talk about probably a ride you shouldn't ride right after dining, and that is Test Track. Test Track will be reimagined, which we knew a little bit about this coming out of D23 last fall. It was teased, but on April 5th, Disney announced officially that Imagineers are gearing up to bring to life the next iteration of Test Track. And in doing so, they're going to reach back into history for inspiration, including drawing from the original World of Color. Nope, World of Motion. So with the World of Motion throwback, they did release a rendering. The rendering is of the outside of Test Track, which I was kind of hoping for more teasers. I looked at that thing long and hard. Really, I was like, okay, they're still going to have Lightning Lane. You know, it is more, it looks like to be anyway, a more like permanent looking structure where today you've got all the canvases and tents. It looks a little temporary out there, but not a ton revealed with that.
Spoiler. Yeah, I'll be interested to hear a bit more detail as to what they're planning. And I didn't read that article or go into the news release on, but obviously they can't do like Cars Land.
Yeah.
You know,
I wish they could, but yeah. So Test Track is going to close on June 17th of 2024, which is a really interesting time of year for a headline attraction in Epcot's close, I think. You know, usually we would see closures more
January.
Winter time. Right. So there is some speculation that, you know, knowing that Tiana's Bayou Adventure is going to be out in 2024 in the summer, maybe this will be kind of synced up to that. And so overall, the parks won't feel it as much, even though it's in Epcot versus Magic Kingdom. And then there is also speculation that like the timing is so it may be able to reopen next summer, because Disney's going to have to compete really heavily with Universal's Epic Universe. That's going to be a whole new park in the summer of 25. So we'll see. Some speculation there. We know for sure it's closing on the 17th of June, and we know it's World of Motion inspired. All
that doesn't get me excited. I'm sorry, Jen.
It doesn't get me excited either. It is the news.
Yeah, it is the news. I mean Test Track is Test Track, right? So I can take it or leave it.
I'm the same with that one, but like if I'm in Disneyland, I'm riding Cars.
Yeah Well, you know.
Yeah, that would be actually a big incentive for us to go to Disneyland is just the Cars ride. It's one of our favorite rides. And so that's what Brittany and I were talking about, is if we could fit in a Disneyland trip before it gets too busy with their Christmas rush and stuff like that. But just to ride, she hasn't been there since 2016. So Cars is new, and all of Incredaland, Adventureland? With Spider-Man ride and
Avengers Campus.
Garden. Thank goodness for Jen, because like I was like, I am no help over here. Yeah. I'm like,
none of that was open when she was there. So we're really, we'd like to get back to Disneyland maybe this year. We'll see if it works out.
Okay. Well, in talking about new updates to rides and whatnot, I'm going to go over to Hollywood Studios and at both Walt Disney World and Disneyland, beginning April 5th, which was 2 days ago, visitors can embark on exciting new Star Wars adventures featuring characters and locations. An update to include some of your favorite Disney Plus series. With these additions, you'll have the opportunity to experience one or more than 250 storyline variations, including a visit to the planet Cetos from Ahsoka. Because the many story twists are random, you never know where you'll go or who you may encounter along the way. And so they've also indicated that download the Play Disney Parks app to earn digital achievements for experiencing attractions and entertainment, including Star Tours. The adventure continues. You can also earn achievements for playing games and other fun activities, both in the parks and at home, you know, kind of like Galaxy's Edge. And then additionally, new merch can be found at Tatooine Traders at Disney Hollywood Studios, the store adjoining the Star Tours attraction, and at the Star Trader in Disneyland Park. So I've seen the merch blasted all over Facebook. I think it looks pretty cool. Star Tours, like my husband wants the jacket. I mean, it's cute, right? But I'm one of those that like Star Tours is a bit much for me. It's up there with Cosmic Rewind, though I love Cosmic Rewind. It just gets me a little nauseated. So, but I think I'll give it a shot to see the new updates, and then I'll probably be done. So
do you leave your glasses? Like, do you wear the 3D glasses or do you leave them off?
I keep my eyes closed. I mean, they're on, but my eyes are closed.
Okay.
So I don't,
I find if I take the glasses off, I'm usually okay.
Okay.
I have to close my eyes when you like jump to hyperspeed. Mm-hmm. That part I can't tolerate, but same like on Avatar, I have to, or Flight of Passage. I have to close my eyes when we're going to the planet. So,
right.
I also get sick on the Finding Nemo ride in the EAC.
Well, I'm talking about the parks and things going on at the parks. It was just this morning at 8 a.m. actually, a breaking news came from Disney Parks that the entertainment unit, which in the Disney Entertainment Unit, which includes its theme parks, and it's one of three major business units in the Disney Corporation. It is the best performing part of the Disney company, which doesn't really surprise me with their streaming and television not being so successful. But it's led by Josh D'Amaro, and he's overseeing additions and changes to the parks. And Disney has pledged $60 billion in investments to that segment over the next 10 years. So about $6 billion a year between the two parks in the U.S. in improvements and changes to the parks.
Well, that's a good chunk of change.
That's a bit of money. What would you like to see come?
Oh, okay.
Like we said, cars to Disney World.
She's like, okay.
I'm going to say something controversial, right? Because I know it's a different thing. But I just did Universal on our recent trip. And I think Disney needs just some more intense attractions. Yeah.
Did the kids love that? Is that what they loved?
Loved it. And, yeah. You know, Miss Isla, who cries on the Barnstormer, was on Big Girl Rides with her hands up there. So I'm not sure why, but I was actually pleasantly surprised at the amount of stuff they can do together. And, you know, Mama thought she was going to die on the Velocicoaster, but I made it. And my husband kept saying, like, oh, I wish that we can, like, take Universal Attractions and drop them in Disney parks. Because,
yeah,
so much we appreciate, and I think Disney does better. But some of those
rides,
like, oh, we need a little more oomph out of Disney World.
I agree with that.
Yeah. All right. Well, I know that we talked a little bit about perks, you know, for, you know, well, in the beginning of the show, we were talking about perks that are coming. One of the newly released perks for 2025 was Walt Disney World adds water park perk for 2025 resort guests. And that it says all Disney resort hotel guests arriving in 2025 can enjoy admission to one of our water parks, Disney's Typhoon Lagoon water park or Disney's Blizzard Beach water park on their check-in day, included in their stay. So additionally, this applies to all the Disney Vacation Club members, annual pass holders and cast members, as long as they're staying on site. It says, you know, I kind of dug into this a little bit. I'm not sure if the Swan and Dolphin are included because it said the Disney Resort Collection. So I think that's pretty cool, you know, because your room, sometimes you can get the early, you know, you'll get alerted at 10 o'clock that your room's ready. Not very often. So I know that a lot of times when I don't have an annual pass, I don't like to waste a park ticket on check-in day. So I do think that this is a great, addition to what they're offering for staying on site. I do think it was in response to Universal and, you know, Epic Universe. They know that they have to, they're going to have to be fit up. So, but it's cool, you know, and I know that Jen, you had one of the, your predictions is that one of the water parks were going to close. So I'm wondering if.
Probably,
I mean, it's a good prediction, but I had never considered it. So, but you know, it's either one water park is open, you know, at a time. But when this first released, I was like, oh my gosh, like I thought we could go anytime, right? I didn't catch the on check-in day because I was like, how are they going to control crowd levels? But I, you know, with on check-in day, I think that's a good.
Good with that perk. Coming as a perk, Brittany and I are kind of interested in it as well because. Yeah. It's not something that we are.
You don't have to pay for.
Do. Right. We don't want to pay for it.
Right.
But getting it as a perk, we would. So it might mean that instead, because normally our flights, the way it works coming out of Canada, we get in later at night.
Right.
And so that would be our check-in night and we would lose that perk because there'd just be no availability.
Right.
So we might actually fly in, stay at the airport the first night and then go to Disney and check in the next day, the second day and get the full day for the park. I think we're looking at doing that.
Yeah, I think that's smart.
Yeah. I think that's, I mean, it's a great perk.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm curious to see how it pans out. You know what I mean? Is like, or is it going to be like absolute madness? because I know that we did a H2O Glow event, and trying to get out of the Typhoon Lagoon parking lot, I thought I was going to have a coronary, you know. So I was like, the bus for me next time. I will be riding the Disney bus.
Good. Good.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Yep. That's for now that I ride the Disney bus, you know.
Hey, we are all about growing here on this podcast.
We sure are.
Like not skipping my friends when it's their turn to talk. I'm so sorry, Jen.
No, you're good. I'm going to go back and kind of continue along that thread that Cindy started. So there was an annual shareholders meeting on April 3rd. And so Bob Iger shared some additional updates, but instead of going through all of them, I will tell you the themes are really focusing on expansion, aggressive investment, like Cindy mentioned, and then turbocharging experiences. So as part of this, they did unveil a piece of inspirational artwork for a potential new Avatar experience at Disneyland. So that would be part of the Disneyland Forward expansion. That it's like a multi-year public planning effort to update Disneyland's planning approvals. And there's a lot in the air and unsettled about that. But it sounds like, assuming that all goes the way Disney wants that to go, they will be likely getting a Pandora out in Disneyland, which I think is interesting. They called out creating new and innovative ways to bring powerful stories to life, which I felt like it was a little bit ironic because they're like, new and innovative, let's do the same thing at Disneyland we've done at Disney World, right? So I need them to be a little more new. But other examples they cited were the Frozen, World of Frozen. They just opened at Hong Kong Disneyland. And if y'all don't follow Josh Gad on social media, he was just out there and it was like the cutest thing. Voice of Olaf, just loving life. Mm-hmm. And then Zootopia is coming and will be opening soon at Shanghai Disney. And also tease a little bit more about Tiana's Bayou Adventure opening this year at Magic Kingdom and Disneyland. Also preparing to unveil Fantasy Springs at Tokyo Disney Sea, which is going to be the largest single land expansion at a Disney park ever. And then, out in Paris, they've recently transformed that Disneyland hotel there, and they're working on a Frozen theme land there. And of course, news on the Disney Cruise Line front as well. So highlighting expansion and investments with Lookout Cay at Lighthouse Point, which is the new exclusive Disney Cruise Line Bahamian port that's opening this summer. And then we've got the Disney Treasure setting sail this December. So lots of experiences and things to look forward to for sure.
Do they have room at Disneyland to expand?
Not currently. Yes. Not a ton.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what they were talking about, like, for the Frozen Land was the area that they were going to have. They have land that is not currently being used by Disney that they have access to on a long-term strategic plan.
Yeah. But if you like go out there today, it's hard to think about because you're walking down like Harbor and Catella and the park is like right butted up to the street basically. So
it's a huge shock, you know, when we go out there next summer, you know. Yeah,
just... I thought that before they brought in the Star Wars. Oh, my goodness. My brain today.
Galaxy's Edge.
Thank you. Galaxy's Edge.
I wasn't sure. Yeah.
And yet, you know, they have that in there and they've teased, you know, a villains park and stuff for Disneyland. So I think all of those would be well received.
Oh, yeah.
Well, Jen, since you mentioned Disney Cruise Line, Cindy, can I go ahead and
you
jump
sure
in?
Can.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So, you know, since I don't wait my turn, I'm so sorry. So Disney Cruise Line, I know that Jen said something about the Treasure sailing in, was it December of this year? So,
yeah.
Disney Cruise Line also revealed the name and theme of the next ship sailing in 2025. So they're moving. I mean, they're moving fast on the cruise line side of things.
Yeah.
So they revealed the first details about its next ship, the Disney Destiny, as it reached a new construction milestone today or whenever, with a keel laying ceremony at the Meyer Werft shipyard in Papenburg, Germany. The design theme of the Disney Destiny, sister to the Disney Wish and Disney Treasure, will be heroes and villains, drawing on the legacy of the beloved Disney stories, characters, and theme park attractions. On board, guests will encounter heroes and villains alike, including those from beloved Walt Disney Animation Studio stories like The Lion King, Hercules, and 101 Dalmatians within the spaces, experiences, and entertainment throughout their voyage. Disney also unveiled brand new filigree artwork for the bow of the Disney Destiny, continuing a beloved Disney Cruise Line tradition. The illustration depicts Minnie Mouse striking a valiant pose in a heroic ensemble. The Disney Destiny is scheduled for delivery in 2025 as part of a multi-year expansion of the Disney Cruise Line fleet that includes the Disney Wish, Disney's Treasure, the Disney Adventure that will be home port in Singapore, and the new island destination in the Bahamas, Disney Lookout Cay at Lighthouse Point. So I can't afford to get on the Treasure. So maybe when the Treasure is a few years old, we'll make it to the Treasure. You know, and then the Destiny, meanwhile, we're looking at the Fantasy right now. So
doesn't Disney Destiny just, doesn't that sound like a name for something else? Like maybe my mind just goes to wrong places, but I feel like there's going to be red lamps.
Well, I don't think it's as bad as like Chastity.
Maybe they're trying to compete with Virgin Voyages.
Maybe. I don't know. If they have, when you go on a Virgin Voyages sailing, they have lighting configurations you can control from the room app. And one of them is get it on lighting. Yeah. So if they roll out get it on lighting in the Disney Destiny, then you were right, Cindy.
We'll see. Yeah. I don't think so, but it just in my mind, that's what I'm picturing right now. So just leave me happy with what I'm seeing.
Yeah, I'm thinking that we're going to have to put like a parental guidance suggested warning on this episode now.
Yeah. I think we've strayed off course from what our boss man is telling us.
Okay, so. Let's get back to the news and not our imaginations.
Yes.
Okay, Joe Rohde. Everybody, you hear his name, right? And everybody just has such a fondness and a respect for this man. Well, he was recently honored as a legend of Disney, which was time that needed to be done. But then less than a week later, he announced that he is returning to working with Disney to teach masterclasses to current Imagineers, which is really exciting because his vision, it's unmatched. Like there's just no one who over the years who've worked for any of the theme parks or Imagineering can match what he has accomplished in his career and his ability to bring it to life, visualize it and then bring it to life. And that kind of fits in with the new YouTube series. I don't know if you noticed, but it's called We Call It Imagineering. And in the first episode, Josh D'Amaro talks and he said this is going to be a chance for Disney fans to go behind the curtain, so to speak, so that you can see what Imagineers are working on currently and learn how these amazing individuals do what they do. It is expected to be similar to when Walt Disney personally guided TV viewers through the development of new attractions at Disneyland before they even opened. And the series is now available on the Walt Disney Imagineering YouTube channel. So I think that this has got some real benefits to Disney with Joe Rohde coming back. It's a comfort level for people of knowing that something big is probably going to happen because he's not coming back to redo other rides or anything like that. We know that. And I also think a lot of the aspiring and emerging young Imagineers will pick Disney if they have a chance to work with Joe Rohde. So that is just my viewpoint on that. But I think that I would definitely look at that.
Yeah, I absolutely love him. And He's such an interesting man in so many ways. So I might need to check that out. It's odd to me that that's not on Disney Plus, but
yeah, I was surprised by that too.
Maybe they're trying to draw in those who don't have Disney Plus. Yeah. I thought that was interesting to hear that it was on YouTube. So.
Well, let's continue the Imagineering talk, I guess. And I will give, so if you are like a spoiler-free person, maybe stop listening just for the next 2 minutes, because I'm going to talk a little bit about Tiana's Bayou Adventure, and more of a look at what's coming. So Disney has released some concept art. You know, we're getting bombarded with construction updates, and there will be an audio animatronic of Tiana, but the official concept, for those of you who haven't heard, is in the Bayou, Tiana is getting ready to throw a big party. So there's been a mix-up between Prince Naveen and Louis, who's the alligator who plays the trumpet. And she suddenly finds herself in need of a band. And so as part of this search for a quest to create a Mardi Gras celebration that has to have music, you're going to be following Tiana and Louie into the bayou for a last minute search for musical critters. And I got to tell you guys, they went like super far in the backstories for these critters. And I'm not going to get into all that because it was like, this one's sarcastic. This one is brave. Like, I don't know how all that.
Like, show me the picture. Yeah. Yes. They're super cute. Yeah. But yeah, like,
they're super cute. And there's like three different groups. And so Disney's to this point now released information about the first two. So the first group is going to play Zydeco music, and specifically they're going to play Gonna Take You There from The Princess of the Frog. And, I can't even say this. I'm going to try by Halia. Maybe the beaver will be the percussionist. From what I gathered from the artwork, she slaps her tail. That's how she plays percussions. Gritty the rabbit plays a washboard on a license plate. Bo the possum has a gourd bass. Apollo the raccoon, who, Cindy, you gotta check this guy out. To me, he looks like Miko with like rabies, but like in that like happy rabies, not like scary rabies. He just looks kind of crazy.
Oh no.
And he plays the squeeze box. Rufus the turtle plays the harmonica. And then Timo Leone, maybe the otter, is the eldest of the band, and he is the fiddle player. And of course, Disney's already like started releasing merch on some of these guys. So they are
so cute.
Yeah.
And then, so the second group they've told us about plays, I believe it's Rara, which is a musical tradition from Haiti that's part of the musical history and melting pot of New Orleans. And as part of that musical group, you've got Octavia the Bobcat and then her grandfather, Pawpaw the Bobcat. Claude the Louisiana Black Bear, who's a salt of the earth kind of bear, and he plays the horn with his partner Bernadette. They have a child named Sebastian, but he has not followed in the family footsteps, and he is a drummer. And then there's Finna the Gray Fox, who's also a drummer, and she's a unique thinker.
I feel like I'm in a soap opera.
I mean, this is involved, yes. Like, this ride is what, like 8 minutes long? How are they going to develop all of these characters?
Yeah, I mean,
it's a lot.
Super cute, but
We will have additional reveals on the other group of characters next week, but something to look forward to just as this starts to come to life and be put together more.
I know that on Facebook I saw people digging for like Easter eggs, and like they were looking at the license plate that was it the rabbit is playing the washboard.
And the rabbit.
Yes. And you know, trying to look at the dates or with the numbers and like, is this when kind of like Tron? Wasn't there some kind of Easter egg with the reveal? And so I don't know. It sounds pretty cute. Audrey and I just watched Princess and the Frog again last night. So it really does have some
great music. Mm-hmm. So rip slash mountain, but I am excited.
Makes me think there might be another movie coming out if they're developing these characters of this band. That'd make a good movie.
Yeah.
So, okay. I have one other update, nothing humongous, but it is regarding if you are an annual pass holder at Walt Disney World. Walt Disney World has announced that VI pass holder days will return this summer from May 1st through June 26th. During that time, annual pass holders will find extras such as a limited time magnet, pass holder lounge, increased discounts, and more. While specifics have not been released, it's definitely a nice added bonus of being an annual pass holder. Currently, we are not pass holders personally, but I know that we would take advantage of anything and everything that Disney is willing to give us, you know, for being said pass holder. And I think, you know, when it says the VIP lounge, what was it, in Sunshine Seasons, it was just like a roped off area, whatnot. Yeah. But I sure did get my Figment magnet. Yes, I did.
So it sounds like maybe a bit of a perk for the local pass holders as well.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure. Yeah.
They can enjoy some of these things on a regular basis.
Right.
It's a time when the park might not be as busy. So they encourage some of the local pass holders to come for a day here and a day there. So I think it'd be a nice perk if I was a local pass holder for sure. Yeah. I don't know that I would plan a trip just to.
No, and it's more of a luck of the draw. You know what I mean?
If exactly.
You're not local. Yeah, I would think so. So that's what I have.
Okay, well, I have one more too, and it refers to extended hours at Magic Kingdom. And we know when summer comes, the hours start to extend a bit. So regular hours at Magic Kingdom have been 9 to 9, and starting April 21st, it's going to be 8 to 9, and then the 22nd to the 24th, it's going to be 9 to 10, 26th and the 27th is going to be 8 to 11. And then there'll be extended evening hours for deluxe hotel guests, April 24th until midnight. And that's Magic Kingdom. Hollywood Studios' regular hours are 9 to 9. April 21st, it's going to be 9 to 9:30. And then April 25th to 27th, 9 to 10. And Animal Kingdom right now is 9 to 6. It's going to be April 21st to 25th. It will be 8 to 6. And the 26th and 27th, it will be 8 to 7. Epcot will stay with the regular hours of 10 to 9 on Sundays and 9 to 9 Monday to Saturday. And of course, the 30 minutes early entry for Disney Resort guests will continue at all the parks. Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you're planning a vacation, we always like to know what the hours are, because mm-hmm. that's kind of how you plan when you're going to get there, when you might leave, when you need to have an extra long day, you might want to plan a break after it, that kind of thing.
Yep, definitely good to know.
Yeah.
Okay. So I've got two things left.
How'd that happen?
Somebody went twice. So I'm going to stick with Disneyland or Disney World for a minute. And Cassandra was talking about getting out of the parking lot after H2O Glow Nights. Mm-hmm. So they're returning. So if you go, you might want to take the bus. That's what you can learn from this. But the magical late night parties are back this year. And they've been doing this now for a couple of years. They're at Typhoon Lagoon and they're going to start on May 21st and go select nights through August 31st. I think there's 18 nights in total. The event is officially from 8 to 11, but you can, and I would recommend entering the park when you can at 6 o'clock. So 2 hours prior to the official event. And they're going to feature a beach bash extravaganza, lighting effects, DJ dance parties, and favorite Disney characters. They include complimentary ice cream, which I know I very much enjoyed last time, popcorn, soda, towel rentals, character appearances, and then there are like official exclusive glow-themed food and beverages you can purchase. But tickets are on sale for those now. Depending on the date for regular tickets, they're between $75 to $85, and kids are just $5 less than the adults. And then the pass holder and DVC prices are $60 to $70. So I mean, I had fun at the event. I've been to two different ones there, and I think it's a good time. And it's nice to enjoy the water parks when it's not sweltering hot. So,
yeah. I haven't been to one of those events. When you say ice cream, are you talking like Mickey bars or actual ice cream?
No, it's like Mickey bars.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I would say definitely not battling the heat and burning your feet was a big pro. That was my first trip to Typhoon Lagoon. And so trying to navigate that park, I was completely lost. Like I had no, and so like in the dark, you know, I didn't know. I mean, trying to keep up with your family and like, but it was so, you know, awesome, the dance party, and like, it's got a cool vibe. And, you know, I felt like it was worth the money. It's just, I wish I would have studied the map more or had been prior to going, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's always hard to navigate. Yeah. Especially if you get in that lazy river, you get out and you're all turned around.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the last thing I wanted to talk about was just the Pixar Fest that's going to be happening at Disneyland. It's going from April 26th through August 4th. And this is happening across both parks out there. And they have put special Pixar touches in the resorts as well as in that downtown Disney district. So as part of that, they have, well, it's really being marketed as a celebration of friendship and beyond. And they're going to have a new daytime parade, which is exciting. It's called Better Together, a Pixar Pals celebration of Disney, or a Pixar Pals celebration, and that's over at California Adventure. More than two dozen Pixar characters, and it's going to include Red Panda May, and she and her friends will be rocking out to my personal favorite boy band, 4Town. We've got Joe Gardner and 22 from Soul. And then some of the Luca characters, which I'm so excited to see them have a place in the parks. Coco, Monsters, Inc., Toy Story, Incredibles. So some old, some newer there. That'll be a good addition, I think. And then Club Pixar, also at California Adventure. So Pixar-themed backdrops, games, character encounters during the day. And at night, it'll be more like a dance party with interactive DJ, but still have some photo ops and live performances.
So we can count on this for next year too.
I think.
Okay. And is it, and this is just like an ongoing thing, like not extra?
No, it's just part of it.
Hot dog.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's exciting because like I haven't met Miguel yet.
Yeah.
Get my hands on Miguel. Cause I love Coco. So.
So along with that, they're also doing revised fireworks called Together Forever, a Pixar nighttime spectacular. So these fireworks were last seen in 2018. So they're bringing them back with some new scenes. And I'm going to assume like the new scenes will be Pixar movies released from 2018 and beyond.
Yeah.
But that'll be really exciting. And then in that Fantasyland theater in Disneyland, they're going to have a Pixar Pals playtime party. So it sounds kind of like dance party, photo ops, character interactions over in Disneyland. And then Ember and Wade from Elemental are going to be debuted as characters as part of the festival. So that'll be exciting to get some.
I love all the characters. And they're, I mean, like, come on, Disney World.
I know. And then if you all followed at all, like the opening of the Pixar Place Hotel, they had, what's his name now from Inside Out?
The new one?
Oh.
Anxiety?
No.
The big pink guy, you mean?
Yeah.
Bing Bong.
Yes, thank you. So that was my moment this show. So he was over there for that. So there's like...
What? Like as a character meet and greet?
You can meet him there. So people are really hoping as part of this Pixar Fest, they'll bring him into the park. So we'll see. Cassandra, the popcorn bucket, which I know you care about, will be a Pizza Planet truck. So that's the merch.
I've seen those online.
Yeah, super cute. There'll be six Pixar themed food marketplaces in California Adventure. And then a big sculpture of the Pixar balls will sit in between the two parks. And they'll have just different interactive experiences that you can use with your Magic Band Plus for.
That sounds...
So I am excited about that.
I bet you are.
And hope that they have it next year, because some of us are thinking about doing Disneyland.
Yes. Yes. So.
Sounds like fun.
You know, we've been talking about going to Disneyland for a long time, and we've talked about a lot of the different festivals that they offer over there that we don't have here. And obviously we have things here that they don't have there, but like Lunar Year and, you know, Oogie Boogie Bash and stuff like that. And so really trying to pick a time of the year that you get to, experience some of that stuff, you know what I mean? So I'm glad that we are looking to fall within a certain time frames. And I know that they also did. I know they announced Pride Nights as well in for June. So, I mean, that looks like a good time too. I'd go to Pride Night.
Yeah. I've got lots going on there.
Yeah.
Yeah. It'd be a lot of fun.
Yeah. So I'm ready. I'm ready to go.
Hey, everybody. That's about it for our roundup that has taken us a while to get to. We miss our cohort, Jenny Berger, but she is freezing her butt off watching softball games. So we feel for her. And we're going to say bippity boppity boo from all of us at the Royal Court Review. We wish you pixie dust and magic until we see you again.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.